dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome back to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk online radio show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, and the first two shows here in the spring of 2015, you're going to be listening to some preview shows for baseball and softball. This is our softball segment, as I'm joined, as I always am, by Jeremy Ward. And Jeremy, as we get right to it here on the softball side, I guess with some opening thoughts, when you think softball, you have to think that they kind of finished with a bang a year ago with what Westfall was able to do and that special magical run, I think is the word I would use. And in Paint Valley, a lot of the same. And when you look across the league here, a lot of familiar names returning in the circle and some stars pretty much peppered through the entire lineup at probably 6-7 different schools. Just your thoughts on what we're in for in SVC softball this spring.
Well, it always comes up so quickly, and it just seems like March doesn't exist. You go from basketball tournaments, and all of a sudden you go from the snowstorms to the softball and baseball games. Of course, now we have to avoid the flooding that it looks like we're going to get this week. But it's with the softball in the league, there's a lot of living up to expectations. I think you got a senior class that's really just been remarkable in a lot of sports, but in softball they've really set the bar high. And I think this year, maybe the league race and a lot of the games are going to be decided by some of the newcomers. And there's a lot of things that but at the end of the day, I think the question marks and some of those young players mixing in are ultimately going to make the difference in the conference championship.
Well, Jeremy, that's what makes these prediction shows fun. I'll tell you what, fans, we're going to get right into it. Stick with us here as on the other side of the break, we start talking SVC softball, and we'll break down each team, and we'll do that next. Stay with us. Well, Jeremy, speaking of glory days, if you're a golfer, some glory days will be coming here once this rain moves out. I know the temperatures are starting to shoot up there a little bit more consistent. I want to let you know about Crown Hill Golf Club. In May, they'll be having a Thursday night two-person scramble. Also an opportunity, a Monday morning senior league. So many other things going to be offered to our listeners here on SVC Sports Talk, as well as our viewers on SVCSportsZone.com. What you need to do, real simple, pick up telephone, call 740-986-GOLF, ask for Dave or Kevin. Tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you. Well, Jeremy, I'll tell you what we'll do here. If you're okay with it, I'll just go ahead and take the lead, and I'll just kind of start down through the teams in alphabetical order and just let the fans kind of know what you're thinking as we get into our softball discussion. I start with the Edina Lady Warriors, and I look at a group that went through an incredible stretch of female athletes, and as that class graduated, I think a lot of their programs had started to rebuild with some younger names, and now some of those younger names, Jeremy, are becoming a little bit more consistent as they get into multiple years with returning Letterman. I know as we're recording after the first night of SVC play. I know Adina gets off to the early start with a win there over Southeastern. Daddy with a complete game. And I know some kids I'm starting to recognize in the box scores there. Just your thoughts on the Adina Lady Warriors as they continue to try to make strides to get the program moving in the right direction.
Well, I saw a market improvement last year from the beginning of the season to the second round in the league, and really it was just a question mark: could they get the pitching to keep them in games and give themselves a chance? You know, they've got a lot more experience this year, top to bottom. You know, veteran coaching staff that knows how the league works and is very seasoned in terms of, you know, knowing the tendencies of some of the league teams. And now probably just the confidence level will really help the Lady Warriors. And, you know, like I said, a good strong outing, like you mentioned, from Daddy. And that's the key, as it is for any team. But, you know, you get some consistency in the circle. That's the only way you're going to compete in this league.
Well, as you start talking about the consistency, I guess that's the word that comes to mind when you start to get into these next three teams is I start to look at Huntington, Painted Valley, Piketon. Let's start with Huntington here. Obviously, the name Lytle jumps out at you. She's had a phenomenal career, first team All-League again last year. Ricky McGill comes onto the scene as a freshman, nice talent. So they definitely have some pieces back there. You know, where do you see Huntington stack up? That they're obviously right there in the middle. They're good enough probably on a given night. Is that fair to compete with the very best? But at the same time, with the incredible balance here, they're probably going to get caught in a lot of tight games, are they not?
Well, yeah, that's true. And in the offense, you know, has kind of been the question mark for them in the past. You know, their lineup is not going to have quite the depth that it's had. It's going to put a lot of pressure on those at the top. You know, maybe a little more athletic at the top of the lineup than they've been, and certainly, you know, a year older. Sure. For some of those athletes. But at the end of the day, you know, the true challenge in baseball or softball is, you know, your 7, 8, 9 has to hit, not just your 1, 2, and 3. And you know, everybody gets to roll through that batting order. So you need the contributions and what you have to do when you're plugging young players in or inexperienced players, regardless of what grade they're in, is you've got to put them in situations where they can be successful. And, you know, you'll see coaches try to sacrifice a little bit more with those players, let them have some successes, get those high fives coming back to the dugout, even if they're making an out, and really take the pressure off those kids. So I think it's a lot on the coaches to you know, take that pressure off, and you know, that also gives you a way to manufacture some runs. So I think you're going to see a lot of that approach, especially with the talented pitchers. And, you know, that's a way that Huntington can maximize some of the speed at the top of their order and figure out a way to score, you know, 3, 4, 5 runs, because certainly Elena's going to keep him in the game.
I think you bring up a really interesting point with the coaches on the softball side in terms of manufacturing runs. You know, when you look at Painted Valley, obviously it starts with Michaela Newland. And again, that magical run that they had last year to the Final Four. But, you know, Jeremy gone from Bainbridge is in a really deep senior class, led by the likes of an Aaron Riley, a Lacey Stanforth, maybe no bigger loss than Cheyenne Lightfoot when you just consider the position, you know, in terms of handling Newland and so forth. But those three kids led a senior class. I can't remember the exact number Coach Medved had, but I believe he graduated about 7, 8 different kids last year. And, you know, now you look at Newland returning with a kind of a new supporting cast. I know there's a couple names like a Nash or a Smith or some kids that they'll go. I know Coach Medved got some new kids out. Some athletes you'll recognize from other sports, but nonetheless, this is going to be a team that you just said it. She's going to have them in the game every night. But how are they able to hit SVC pitching and manufacture things? But at the same time, maybe Jeremy, twofold here, not just how you think they might compete in the league, but obviously Paint Valley can kind of have their eye on that end prize, if you will, again, because let's face it, in the Division IV tournament, Newland becomes quite the weapon.
Well, there's no question about it, and you know as well as I do that, you know, their matchup with White Oak and the very talented pitcher that White Oak has, and that's your measuring stick in D4 as far as, you know, throughout the district level. You know, of course, Notre Dame is going to be very strong. They had a tight matchup with them, and I know they're on the upswing with that program, and they have a lot of depth of talent. But the bottom line is if you strike out between 16 and 20 batters a game, all you've got to do is, you know, catch the two pop-ups in the infield to get the other two outs or the other three outs that are recorded. That's confidence building right there.
It kind of reminds me playing my brother one-on-one wiffle ball in the backyard. Remember how you'd have to pitch it, he'd hit it, you'd run out there and catch it or whatever.
Yeah,
maybe she could do that.
You know, and that puts a lot of pressure on the pitcher, but
sure,
at the end
sure.
of the day, from a confidence standpoint, you know, there's no better way than to break in young players when you can, you know, defensively put them in a position to be successful, because they just don't have to record that many outs. And with the pitching in the league, Paint Valley, like a lot of teams, you know, will have that luxury.
Well, again, in all seriousness, there's been some kids really put a lot of time mm-hmm. in some softball in the off season, trying to develop into some new positions. And I think Paint Valley's best softball's well ahead of them. Coach Medved doing a good job there. So give them a couple weeks, and I think you're going to continue to see them stride in the correct direction there. Well, let's go on to Piketon here as we get to the halfway point of our league. Obviously, a name like Dunn jumps out at me. You know, when I hear people talk about Piketon, I hear them talk about multiple pitchers. I hear them talk about good athletes on the offensive side. They pick up a key win opening night or not, beating Huntington 7-4, because that's probably, again, two of those teams right there in that balance that we're talking about. Jeremy, I get the impression from doing this show with you over the last couple of years that this has been a Piketon group, and I don't mean to be unfair here, tell me if I'm wrong, but I always got the impression from you that you've really liked their upside. At times, maybe you wanted a little bit more out of them, but as we got into the second half of the season last year, we seemed to get that. Are you as high on the Lady Red Streaks this year, or do you think they're still missing some pieces?
Well, you know, I think last year, you know, probably all things considered, you know, if completely healthy, last year was probably their best shot at a nice run. You know, possibly the best all around player in the league, and done as far as versatility. Now, you know, obviously you're talking about Morgan Geno and extreme talent there, but Adrienne Dunn, I think, is. Not that we haven't talked about her over the years, but she really has a lot of versatility, and you know she's gonna do a lot of the pitching as she's done over her career. But you know, very talented defensive player, infielder, understands the game, and just, you know, fundamentally fun to watch. There again, there's another example where, you know, they're gonna put a lot of pressure on her, and some of the younger kids are gonna have to step in. Like many of the teams in the league, they're going to be, you know, breaking in a new catcher after having, you know, 3 and 4 year starters behind the plate.
Sure, yeah.
In the past, and there's a lot of teams in that boat. So, you know, you can talk about the pitching and the strength and the veteran leadership that brings, but when you're breaking in new catchers, you know, that's a whole new set of challenges, and you know, Piketon will kind of be in that boat as well. So again, a dangerous team. They're used to having success, and you know, much like Huntington and Paint Valley, we talk about when your pitcher, when you know she gives you a chance, that takes a lot of pressure off the rest of the defense, and it allows you to grow up at a little more positive rate.
Well, Jeremy, really good stuff here as we take a look at Adina, Huntington, Paint Valley, and Piketon. That puts us to the halfway point here as we take a look at our 2015 preview of SVC softball. Fans, don't go anywhere. Up next, we take a look at the rest of the SVC. The Southeastern Lady Panthers is where we start here in our second round of SVC teams, as we look at Southeastern, Uniota Westfall, and Zane Trace to finish out our SVC volleyball, or excuse me, softball preview here. And I guess as I look Lady Panthers, Jeremy, I look at an all-league returner here, Lexi Cooper, and I know that and in this incredible league that the Lady Panthers have had some struggles, or you know, I do think they're moving in the right direction. As I see, I guess the reason I say that is I see some non-league scores come in early in the year. I know they get a 12-7 win over Benton County. Cooper as the winning pitcher there with a couple hits. Murda, three doubles, four RBI. So some of the things I'm seeing early in the year, I see them going in the right direction. Just talk to us a little bit about what you think that is going to have to happen for the Lady Panthers to continue to become more competitive in the SVC.
Well, you know, it's no secret. We talked about it before, and the divide between the haves and the have-nots is in the circle. And you know, if you cannot if you can't put somebody out there that is well above average as a high school pitcher, you're going to have a hard time competing in this league. And, you know, sometimes that, like you said, when you look in the non-league, when you go just to the average run-of-the-mill high school teams, you know, Southeastern is one that can go out and compete. You know, certainly with that pitching, it you know, when you don't have that presence, it forces your defense into making a lot of outs, and you see them struggle with their fielding and making errors and giving teams multiple opportunities. And you know, that's going to continue to plague teams that, you know, don't have pitchers that strike out double digits you know, night in and night out. So you know, that's always the challenge. It forces you to, you know, have to put the ball in play consistently and forces you to field. And you know, if Southeastern can do that, they can be competitive. You know, no question about it. Lexi Cooper's a nice athlete, versatile player. She's going to have to pitch some. You know, I'm not sure if she's going to pitch all the time for them or not. But she's certainly very capable, and you know, she's proven, you know, since her freshman year having to play at the varsity level that. You know, she can swing the bat against the pitchers in this league, and, you know, a pretty nice defensive player as well.
Well, Jeremy, coming out of the break there, I'd accidentally said volleyball because there in my notes, I wanted to ask you about some of these teams where some of the athletes I see in volleyball and then in basketball, as you start to look at certain rosters here on the softball side. Yeah, obviously Uniota's had an incredible run with the female athletes here in terms of their volleyball run and their basketball run. Now you get to softball, and I guess it's a little bit of a mix. Correct me if I'm wrong here, because you know far better than I do, but it seems to me you kind of have a half veteran group mixing in some young pieces here. The Uniota team seems dangerous, very capable still, but you know, maybe a couple things missing to really compete over the 14 game grind. Am I on the right track there with Uniota? Tell us a little bit about the Lady Shermans.
Well, you know, I think so. And obviously, when you have a talented players like Gina Wright and what she's been able to do at the plate over the years, Emily Ward, one of the best defensive players in the conference, you know, year in and year out, and has been a very productive hitter throughout her career. Just pretty much steady. You know what you're getting every night at the top of the order. You're going to get good at bats from those two lefties. You know, Jordan Pierce has developed into a nice player, and she's going to have to you know, have an impact and produce with some power, I think, for Uniota to be able to score runs. You know, they're going to be breaking in young catchers, and they've been spoiled over the years with Natalie Neff, and then, you know, Rachel Wright last year, of the best catching in the area. And, you know, when you break in new catchers, there's always going to be that transition period. And, you know, you kind of appreciate how good you had it. And I think a lot of teams are in that boat. So you're probably going to see some scores early on where man, that might surprise you a little bit. It might take a few weeks for some of this to sort itself out. I think Uniota's in that boat. But at the end of the day, they've got some nice athletes that are freshmen that are going to make an impact. Not nearly the athletes that the Uniota teams had in the past, where they just constantly be able to put pressure on you on the base paths and take the extra bases and do those things. They've got to be much more sound offensively and really maximize their opportunities if they're going to compete for a championship or compete, at the district level in Division II. But certainly have some really nice pieces, to build on.
Well, next up, obviously the Westfall Lady Mustangs coming off just an amazing accomplishment, high school's ultimate prize, and they obviously get hit with graduation when you think of Rochert and Tackett, but nonetheless, the list of names, when you look at their lineup card, you're going to see a lot of familiar names, some kids that have done a lot of winning, Fox and Arledge and Stone Rock and Robinson and Williams. And, again, I know I'm missing a couple there, but again, just common names that we're used to seeing and used to seeing them do a lot of winning. Just your take. I know you had a chance to early in the year to have an opinion here at Westfall, just your take on as they try to kind of continue to set the pace in the SVC.
Well, some similarities with Uniota is you have some core, extremely talented players that are, more than proven themselves over the years, multiple sports at that. But they're kind of the opposite here in the league, where they lost their pitcher, and obviously Gina Rochert had proven herself as just a phenomenal postseason pitcher. With the run that she had last year, and much similar to the regional run she had when she was a freshman, but they have the catcher back, they have the strong infielders back, and Fox in the outfield, but they're breaking in a new pitcher, and so they're going to have some growing pains there. That rearranges their defensive lineup a little bit, even though you have the same people. People have to kind of move around and fill in the gaps. So there's going to be some growing pains there. But I tell you what, they play the game hard. They do the little things. They take extra bases. They put pressure on the defense. And again, they're going to have to score runs to win games. They're not going to be the 1-0. They're going to have to find a way to score 3 or 4 runs to take some pressure off Cassidy Williams, even though she's a senior in experience. She's not put a lot of time in the circle, but it's hard to replace the state championship caliber returning players that they have.
Well, no question. And I guess when you talk SVC, the battle, I know by the time people listen to this show, I know Zane Trace Westfall play early in the round here. Zane Trace is our final team in our list of 8. And obviously Morgan Gina is a special, special talent. I know Swackhammer is a name that comes to mind. But really, as I go down through the Zane Trace roster, athletic is a word that kind of comes to mind. I see a lot of kids that strong kids that can run a little bit and do some different things. In baseball, we would use the 4-5 tool type of analogy. I guess softball would apply the same way. Just your thoughts on Zane Trace is obviously their expectations have got to be sky high.
Well, no question. When you're looking to depend on Morgan Gino, you're already way up there on the list of good places to be. Just a fine talent. There's some pieces that go with it. They had some time breaking in players to catch in position last year, and how that develops will be a key in how far they can go. Certainly Swackhammer up the middle now, a multi-year starter, a power bat that hits behind Gino. Her success will certainly trigger greater outcomes for the Lady Pioneers. And with a new coach and I don't know how their style of play will change. Donnie's no stranger to the SVC. He's been around for a lot of years in a lot of different capacities and very experienced. I'm sure you're going to see fundamental approaches and high expectation for those players, and you know, certainly makes St. Trace the front runners, I think, in pretty much everybody's mind.
Well, Jeremy, that kind of wraps up our look at the eight schools. Our next segment here, people listened to our show throughout the winter. They know we did a fast break segment in basketball where Jeremy and I take on three quick questions and give quick response and then take some time to break them down. I had a suggestion here that in baseball and softball season, we call this the three up, three down. We'll have it brought to our SVC fans by Crown Hill Golf Club once again. That phone number is 740-986-GOLF. Again, ask for Dave or Kevin. Let them know SBCSportsZone.com sent you. So, again, Jeremy, Bruce has put together three of them for us. Bruce, this is our three up, three down. What do you have for us here on the preview show?
What word or phrase would best highlight this year's SVC League?
Donuts.
I will go with the word elite.
Take pitchers out of the equation for this answer and give fans a position player who could impact the race in the 2015 season.
I really feel Delaney Swackhammer, Zane Trace shortstop, is going to have a huge impact, not only supporting in the middle of the lineup, but you know, her defensive play as well.
Good selection there, Jeremy. I think I'll go a similar route, but I'll go over to the Westfall Lady Mustangs with Robinson and some of her play and on the left side of the infield.
Get a position with great depth in this year's league and explain how you think this position could really impact the league race.
Well, I'll stick to that theme at shortstop. You know, in addition to Swackhammer, you have Jordan Pierce at Uniota, Denise Arledge at Westfall. Key pieces to, you know, the strong up-the-middle defense that relates to championships.
I think I'll go to the catcher position, and you've talked about it. Some schools with a lot of experience back there, others breaking in some new catchers. Obviously, a really important position, especially when you talk about a league where there's going to be a lot of 2-1, 3-2 type of games. That could be a really important position. Well, Jeremy, as we come out of our three up, three down in our softball segment, you know, I talked about, you know, the league being so elite, and you're talking about, I think you're referring to how, you know, offense is going to be tough to come by. The one thing I told a fan that I would ask you about in detail kind of comes down to our number two answer there, where we're talking left side of the infield. I wanted to get your take on this because I had a great softball discussion with some different people, and I'm amazed that I've talked to some really good softball people who maybe don't agree themselves on this. If you have an elite defender and you're looking shortstop versus third base in softball, do you see a little bit of truth in terms of maybe using the better defender or athlete at third base in terms of the way there's a lot of bunting and different things, where maybe in baseball you'd want more of that that range and versatility at short? Talk us through a little bit of how you might put together your left side of the infield when you're looking at athletes on a softball diamond.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, as you mentioned catcher earlier, I think, you know, The catcher is probably the most important, you know, outside of the pitcher, I think, in softball. But depending on the style of play of a lot of the teams in your league, there's a lot of merit to putting your best, you know, infielder at third base, because they're going to see a lot of action. They're going to be involved in a lot of movement plays from playing tight and being able to recover to, you know, to cover the bag. There's a lot of responsibilities that are probably more similar to the shortstop in baseball as far as, you know, freedom of movement and making decisions and so on and so forth. So I think there's a lot of merit into that. I would still say the catcher is probably more critical, but, you know, the third baseman probably sees more action.
Well, it's good stuff. I tell you what, fans, you're going to let us know all year long what you want us to talk about. Let us know on Facebook, Twitter, in our inbox at admin1@svcsportzone.com, or give us a call, 740-569-3254. We're going to obviously include track as well throughout our spring shows and talk about our athletes in all of the different spring sports. Well, Jeremy, we wrap up our show with a segment we call Have a Clue Blue. If people are familiar with our basketball shows, we would say with the segment Liar, Liar, Stripes on Fire, where Jeremy take on an officiating question, just talk a little bit of rules or different things in game management. In our softball question, the number one thing that has people really confused is more and more people trying to get involved with both baseball and softball and learn the game and different things is the flex player. And it is kind of a confusing thing. I know some coaches have sat down to try to explain it to me a little bit. Kind of give us a scenario on what the flex player is, Jeremy, and how it's kind of used, what the value of it is, and just the rule itself.
Well, it can be complicated, and you know, anytime it takes 10 or 12 paragraphs to explain in the rule book, I'd say it's fairly substantial. And when there's always situation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Well, that's why I've given you a few seconds here to just describe it to the fans real quick.
Basically, DP is designated player. That's, you know, most commonly associated with your, you know, DH. I guess if you're going to use a flex, you're basically putting 10 players in your lineup, only 9 bats. So that DP flex is your, you know, is representing one spot in the order. Obviously, only one can bat and one can play the field. The interesting fact comes that you can use your flex to hit for your DP, and it's only, you know, they each get to re-enter instead of, you know, only one re-entry. They each get to re-enter, and your DP can go in the field and play. Your flex is not in the batting order unless, you know, they were going to replace the DP. So it can be confusing, and I'm sure, you know, you can probably sneak it past an umpire every now and then if you can talk really fast and use the finance pen on the lineup card. You know, I know I've been involved in games where that's been quite a commotion, but you know, the bottom line is, you know, your flex needs to be on the card at the bottom. They're not in the batting order to begin with, but they're, you know, free to play defense.
Well, Jeremy, I tell you what, a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to a good spring. Fans, we appreciate you listening to our preview show here for softball. Please make sure to head to the website and listen to our baseball show as well. Also, make sure to check us out each week during the spring. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the fine people at DBK Media Services, and for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.